Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is Fred Cole, president of UUP, United University Professions, the nation's largest public higher education union, representing more than 35,000 academics and professional faculty of the State University of New York, 29 operated campuses. Welcome, Fred. And before we continue, I should, by way of disclosure, say I was a professor for many, many years at SUNY, and I always knew what that union had done for us, but thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
So, Fred, UUP has a new contract. And so do you think that the midterm that we've just gone through with the House becoming blue, the federal House, of course, resulted in good things for UUP? Is there any relationship?
I think there is. And I would point to two things. One is, that we represent three public hospitals in SUNY, one at Stony Brook, one at downstate in Brooklyn, and one at upstate in Syracuse. Those are major institutions in terms of the healing work that they do and patient care, because, of course, they accept all patients being public hospitals, but they're also major educational institutions. And having said that, over the past 2 years, as the Trump administration has fought to eliminate the Affordable Care Act, if that had occurred, it would have caused devastation for New York State. It would have meant that we would have had thousands of New Yorkers who no longer would have been covered under any sort of insurance program, and then the cost would have fallen directly to these hospitals, to SUNY, and to the state.
Well, Fred, this may actually happen because we've seen a judge now, misguided as he may be, saying that Obamacare is unconstitutional.
Yeah, and I'm hopeful that this federal district court judge is so much of an outlier and has been on a number of his decisions that the Supreme Court and John Roberts as Chief Justice will hold to their previous decision in upholding the Affordable Care Act and overturning this case once it reaches the Supreme Court. And at present, of course, the judge's decision has no impact right now, and let's hope it doesn't.
Well, I'm going to be interviewing Andrew Cuomo. I wanted to ask you a question. In the beginning, when he came in, he was a house on fire. He had bad things to say about unions and workers, and many of your people were furious with him. But there seems to be a detente now. Has he changed?
I think that he has. I will not at all diminish the level of conflict that existed between the public sector unions and the governor, especially in the first couple years of his first term.
Sure.
We had a terrible experience with our first round of negotiations back in 2011. We were 2.5 years without a contract. That first contract, like the contract the other unions got, CSEA and PEF, these were very tough contracts, a lot of givebacks, and there was a lot of anger directed at the governor. It's why Zephyr Teachout did so well in the primary, despite her lack of resources in 2014. And I think it's clear that that's why a lot of our members supported her back in 2014. In the second round of negotiations, the contract we just negotiated, the relationship had changed. The atmosphere at the table was much less acrimonious. And also, the governor made it clear in various steps that were taken in anticipation of the Janus decision at the Supreme Court that he wanted to do everything possible to protect public sector unions, and he did take some notable steps.
Janus, as our listeners will remember, well, why don't you tell everybody?
Yeah, it was a Supreme Court case that was handed down that basically took away the power that unions had up until that point, up until June 27th. We remember the date precisely.
You had to be a member of the union if you're going to teach at SUNY.
Yeah, and you had to pay dues whether you signed your card or not,
right.
Realizing, of course, that we represent everyone, whether they are members or not. We have that exclusivity.
So the court took a shot at unions by saying, no, you don't. If you don't want to pay, you don't have to.
That's right. They based it on a misreading of the First Amendment. But nonetheless, as Justice Sotomayor said, it was a weaponization of the First Amendment for very clear partisan political purposes. They wanted to weaken public sector unions. We are the strongest part of the union movement. And ironically, since the decision, I think what conservatives expected and some of us feared in the union movement is that there would be an exodus of members wanting to be free riders. There has not been.
Really?
Members have stuck with us. I think it helps that we got a very good contract. They're getting raises. Their health benefits are protected. And they know we advocate for the state university very aggressively. And so our members have stuck with us. NYSED has seen no significant drop off in membership. We've had some, obviously some individuals, mostly for philosophical reasons, have decided or never wanted to be part of a union. And that's going to take place. But the numbers have been very, very small.
So, as a lifelong professor myself at New Paltz in Albany, it occurs to me that there isn't always the kind of pride in state university that there should be. For example, the one that always ticked me off was that your kids, if you were teaching at Williams or another place, would go for free.
Yeah.
And I always thought that ought to be a negotiating thing for the SUNY professors, but the union never did it. And I always thought it was because, a lot of those professors didn't think their kids would be going to SUNY.
Maybe so. I mean, we've made that demand every time.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, we have. And what we were able to get this time around, which, took some hard bargaining. But again, I think the governor's people and SUNY, who were also at the table, realized the importance of encouraging enrollment at the state university. And so we do have a scholarship program for dependents of those folks that are within UUP's bargaining unit. As long as those children go to one of the SUNY campuses we represent, there's a scholarship award that they have to qualify for. There's a GPA requirement. So it isn't the free tuition that you alluded to. But it is I think it's a small step, but a necessary step. We would like to invest in our own university that we serve. Absolutely.
Fred Cole, I went to Hunter College in the Bronx a long, long time ago. It was absolutely free. We didn't pay a penny.
That's right.
I happen to be a big believer in that because I think if you're going to talk equality of opportunity, if some people have to pay, if they have to pay anything, if they have to pay $500, whatever it is, that's going to count out a number of people. What do you think?
It cost certainly is a problem. And I think we, for instance, supported President Obama's call in his second term for the free first 2 years of college education. We continue to support that concept. At the same time, where there has been some movement, there's the Excelsior program, which is really targeted more at middle class and upper middle class.
I want to talk to you about that.
Yeah. On the subject of free tuition, I think two points need to be made. One is, as important as tuition is, in fact, right now in SUNY, it's roughly slightly more than one-third of the actual cost for attending SUNY. The fees, the costs of room and board have risen so dramatically that, in fact, those costs outstrip the cost of tuition. So even if you were to make SUNY tuition-free, there would still be very high costs for a lot of the students who would like to go there. The other thing is, when I've spoken with legislators, even some progressive legislators have said, as much as we would support free college education, we really would like to see students invested in their education to make sure that there is either some component of public service required or, on the other hand, some amount of investment to show that they're valuing this important, I would call it a requirement to be a part of our economy now.
You're not going to like what I have to say, but I'm just going to ask it because I think it's demanded of me. There'll be those people listening right now who are saying, I know you guys. Instead of saying, there should be free tuition for everybody in order to assure equality of opportunity, you want to protect your salaries. Therefore, you're saying we need to do this.
Well, I think that if we want to call for free tuition, then what we have to have is a really progressive tax system to raise enough public revenue in order to pay for this. It's an expensive proposition. And I've always favored a much more progressive tax system. We used to have a progressive tax system when our economy was the fairest and most productive ever, which was the 1950s and 60s. Why not go back to that kind of system? That needs to be in place before we can move to free tuition.
Okay, so let's go back to what I was saying before. Cuomo was tough on you guys in the beginning. He came around. The leadership was happy. But I still talk to professors who don't like him based on their memories of those early days. Do you have a problem as the leader of the union trying to get everybody back into the corral?
It can be really challenging. You were a faculty member at New Paltz, which has just a dynamic faculty with all sorts of different philosophies and perspectives. There were some folks from our union who were active in the Cynthia Nixon campaign, faculty members from down there. But at the same time, we represent faculty at Alfred and at my home campus of Cobleskill, Canton. Campuses where our members are much more conservative, and they may not like Governor Cuomo, but it's because of the SAFE Act. And so, yes, holding this disparate group together can be challenging. I think the other part of it is that a lot of our members are discouraged that the state investment in SUNY has never caught up from the draconian cuts that were associated with the Great Recession time period, because SUNY has not caught up. And more of the burden falls on tuition. There's been some slight movement, but we're looking more optimistically at what might come in this next year's budget. We're hopeful, but at the same time, that is also part of the equation, that people feel that the state has not supported SUNY to the extent that it needs to be supported for us to succeed.
Fred Cole, are you happy with your new chancellor? I mean, we've had several chancellors at the university. I take it as the head of the union, you've got to go head to head with her, right?
Yeah, we do. And we have had some good conversations in her first year and a half. Chancellor Christina Johnson at SUNY. And she has brought some interesting ideas from her background, both as entrepreneur and also as academic and dean at Johns Hopkins and Duke.
But entrepreneur, if I may interrupt you, doesn't exactly sound union-like, sounds Republican-like. Is entrepreneur a good word in this case?
In this case, it is. She was in the Department of Energy in the Obama administration. At the same time, I think that there still needs to be, on the part of SUNY's leadership, much more aggressive advocacy for the university. I was a little concerned by what I saw in the budget proposal that they made a couple weeks ago. For instance, on the SUNY hospitals that I mentioned earlier, there was no
Wicked hospitals. Yeah. Gotta be one of your biggest problems.
Yeah. There was no demand for a reinstatement of the state subsidy in those hospitals, which was eliminated last year in the governor's budget proposal. But eventually, thanks to our very hard work in advocating, the governor put in $92 million from a federal program. But that was a one-time shot. That subsidy is crucial.
Well, will they close? Is it possible that if you don't get that subsidy again, some of these hospitals might close?
Without the subsidy, without the disproportionate share funding, the DSH program that is state and federal, these hospitals benefit from that program because they take a disproportionate share of mostly Medicaid patients. Without those two funding sources, or right now there's a curtailment of the funding in the DSH program from the state side, if both of those things happen, these three hospitals will be in financial difficulty this year.
Well, financial difficulty, but will they face the potential for closure?
No, they won't. And the only reason for that is because there is no way that the state of New York can close. Let's just look at Upstate Medical University and Medical Center in Syracuse. It serves 19 counties. It's the only burn unit in upstate New York. There are other services that are available nowhere else in the upstate area. Both politically and I would say morally, it would be impossible for that institution to close.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about adjunct professors. Now, yes. I'm a very fortunate guy. I was a tenured faculty member. My wife in Massachusetts was a tenured faculty member. But there are people who are teaching two and three courses and they're getting what in the parlance is bupkis for their work. Has the union done enough to help them?
No, we haven't. I'll be the first to admit that. We have fought, especially in the last three or four rounds of negotiations. I was involved in the negotiations back in 1999, and that was around the time when we got an UUP for SUNY adjuncts, health insurance benefits, which really,
it's huge.
And we've had to fight off attempts to restrict those benefits. This time around, there were some attempts to chisel away at that. There were some changes that may impact some adjuncts. We're working hard to limit that. On the salary side, on the per course salary side, in this contract, for the first time, we were able to negotiate salary minima. Now, they're still far below where they need to be.
Well, what is that minimum?
The minimums, it varies based on campus types. At the university centers, starting 2019, the salary minimum will be $3,750 per course, and then it will rise going forward every year. It'll go to $250 per semester, per year, will rise. At the tech campuses, at the comprehensive campuses, similarly, there's a slightly lower start, and then at about, I think it's $3,500, and then it will rise
per $250 course.
Per course. Right. What we demanded was $5,000 per course. That's been the national campaign.
Well, it's still nothing. I mean,
absolutely.
$5,000 a course is $15,000 a year before taxes, and then if you do two semesters, it's $30,000 a year, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, a professor now, thanks to your good work, can get $100,000 easily.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the biggest impediment has been in negotiations has really been where, you know, SUNY and the state have argued there's no shortage of supply. And that's the downside. There are so many people who
everybody
are desperate.
Everybody wants to be a college professor.
They do. We are, you know, we fought hard for what we got this time. And then to be able to hold on to health insurance, which is an extremely beneficial gain for our members. At the same time, we're supporting our colleagues in PSC at CUNY who are negotiating their contract now. And their target is a $7,000 per course minimum. You know, we're hoping that they win in their contract round and then we can build on their success. That's hopeful anyway.
Okay, so in the governor's preview of his budget, do you have any reason for hope or despair?
The hope comes from, I think, two areas. One is I welcome the fact that the governor is trying to embrace the legacy of FDR. For those of us who know history, FDR
hey,
was...
Hey, I lived during that time.
That's impossible. I can't believe that.
Not at all.
FDR was... One of his geniuses was to attract progressive people and progressive ideas into his administration as governor. And New York State became almost the living laboratory for what became the New Deal. What I would like to see is for the governor's rhetoric and staking out positions a few days ago, that creates a situation where New York is the progressive beacon. And with that comes part two, which is now to follow on that and really put meat on the bones.
So it's one thing to talk. You know, you could talk to talk.
Right. We need the walk.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about Calieros. Now, there's a real black eye for the state university, and it's one that I particularly have been angry about for quite a while because the state university at Albany had a wonderful leader, Karen Hitchcock. Along comes Calieros. He demands that his group gets taken out of SUNY at Albany and made into a separate polytechnic place. He gets away with it. Now it turns out, according to the trial he just went through, that he's a crook. Can I get you on the record on this?
I can say this much, because, of course, when he resigned his position as campus president of SUNY Pauli, he came back into our bargaining unit, and we've had to represent him.
Oh, I see.
And so I can't make any comments on that part of the story. But we were involved with Chancellor Zimpfer and with Dr. Calieros when he was president at SUNY Pauli in terms of what position that institution would take. I agree with you. My position always was that I thought it was a logical component of SUNY Albany. That great university, that's my alma mater. That's where I got my PhD. And I think
in what subject?
Political science.
Oh, great. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Welcome, Pilgrim.
And I think that if it had remained part of the University at Albany, there was a greater likelihood that there would have been closer oversight of the institution and what was happening there. So much of what went on in the SUNY Pauli situation was funded or was created by funding that came from outside sources, from the SUNY Research Foundation, SUNY foundations. We've been calling for years for more transparency in those institutions. They're supposed to serve the academic mission of SUNY. The SUNY foundations are worth over $2 billion. The ones at UB, University of Buffalo, and Stony Brook alone are over $1 billion. The recent comptroller's report indicated that only SUNY has the power to audit these foundations and provide oversight, which I think is a mistake.
It's a mistake because?
Because there should be some outside auditing. I would prefer that the state comptroller supervise.
Well, so would I. And frankly, the governor's taking away of the comptroller's pre-audit function has been a disgrace as far as I'm concerned.
I think it's a mistake.
Well, that's the difference between you and me. I use the word disgrace and you use the word mistake.
That's because I still have to negotiate with him.
Very political, very political of you. What's it like to negotiate with him when you walk in the room with this governor? No, I've known him for a long time and, you know, I have frequent interviews with him. But what's it like? He's a tough guy, right?
Yeah, he is. He is. And absolutely transactional.
What does that mean?
It comes down to...
I'll give you this, if you give me that.
There is an absolute certainty that, the governor was disappointed and angry that organized labor didn't support him in 2014. And he wanted that support. And I think he realized that in order to get that support, he had to treat us better. There is a certain amount... I don't think there's any way of avoiding the reality of transactional politics, especially in Albany. At the same time, I think at his root, what he is about is getting things done, especially building. You know,
yeah, yeah.
I think that's what's important to him. I think he takes great pride in trying to continue his father's legacy. He wants to be part of that pantheon of great governors. And so I use that as issuing a challenge that, you know, the opportunity that he has is to make the State University of New York system once again the greatest in the world.
Do you think, as a real close observer, I have a feeling that he can't be president and that he might run for a fourth term? What do you think? That would be competitive with his dad.
Yeah, it would be. And that's where I think that I don't think he'll run for a fourth term. I think that there's a much stronger likelihood he will run for president. But I think that depends on what Joe Biden does. I think he admires Biden. He supports him. I think he might even see himself as a vice president with Biden. But I think he wants to make this, quote unquote, what I see as his last term.
One last very important question, and that is the state Senate is now Democratic. Will that make a difference to you?
Yes, it will. We are in a curious situation where many of our upstate campuses are in Senate districts represented by Republicans, and we have some great friends on the Republican side, Jim Seward, Kathy Young, among others. But with this shift, we anticipate working very well and very closely with Toby Stavisky, who knows our issues. She's the new chair of the Senate Higher Ed Committee, and the new leader knows our issues. And I think there's going to be more of an aggression to get at issues, as I pointed out, the transparency issue and then funding for SUNY.
Well, Fred Cole, we've only scratched the surface. Love to have you back. Everybody, you've been listening to The Capital Connection. Our guest was Fred Cole, president of the United University Professions, UUP, and we're delighted to have him here. And our guest has been remarkably candid with me. I have to say, Fred, after all of these years of interviewing your predecessors, you were a breath of fresh air. And I like the fact that you were able to just tell us what you were thinking. So I'm Alan Chartok. And that's The Capital Connection.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.